was the covenant established with Abraham's seed?
Circumcision?
Yes, partly. But when we think about it, though manifold, various ways and different things that are part of it, and different things that it has to do. Remember, established, not first time origin, but established as in kind of over and over again with them many times. We had Isaac, Israel, believing Jews, believing Gentiles, but it was established as one seed in Christ. That's how all covenant seed are established before God in the Lord Jesus. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is Christ. Galatians 3:16. So Christ is the one seed, and all believing Jews and Gentiles are understood to be in him. Remember, we continue to use the idea of that which is mystically considered. So, for as the body is one and hath many members, so also is Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:12. Christ and his church are one. They're one Christ in that particular way. God accepts no one apart from Christ. They are only in him, in the beloved. They're in him. When you see the way that Paul writes Ephesians, it's almost like he writes one long sentence with 1,000 semicolons and commas. Just keeps going. And you find when he writes Ephesians in that particular way, it's in him, in the beloved, in Christ, all together, over and over and over and over again. Christ and his church are one. And out of Christ, men are enemies, strangers, aliens from the covenants of promise. Ephesians 2:12 talks about that. So in this way, the first covenant was settled in Christ himself, the mediator and foundation. Then in him is, it's settled through him, in the beloved, all the believing Jews and Gentiles. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20. With that seed, Christ mystical, right? He's the head and the body together. God establishes his covenant forever. Isaiah 59:21. My spirit that is upon thee and my word shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, and from henceforth and forever. Prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel continually use words like this: into the ages, right? They keep doing that. Why do they do that? Was it forever? Babylonian exile, all of them were in Babylon. Promises were to them that, keep in mind, the greatest promises ever given in the Old Testament are in those prophets to those people to deliver them out, bigger than anything else. Even so much so that the prophets particularly say, when you hear these things and this redemption that God does, you won't even remember Egypt. It ain't even be close to like that. This is way bigger and way better forever. And the prophets are saying that to the people of God. God's covenant with Abraham's seed is everlasting, founded in Christ, extended to all who are his. Who are we talking about?
Christ and his.
Who?
Christ and his.
Yeah, but with who? Where are we at?
Abraham.
Abraham, right? Why did God in this way extend his covenant not only to Abraham, but also to his seed? There are particular reasons for that. Out of the overflowing riches of his grace, love, and bounty towards Abraham, he was the friend of God, James 2:23. How many people in the Bible do we find that to be the case?
A friend of God?
Yeah.
That it actually says that?
Yeah.
Not many.
I don't think anywhere.
File that in the back of your mind. The Lord's love was so great that it reached beyond Abraham to his posterity. So as men extended kindness to the children of their dearest friends, so God extends mercy to Abraham's seed. And in the zeal of his wrath, he visits the iniquity to the third and fourth generation of haters. But in the zeal of his love, he shows mercy to thousands of generations of them that love him and keep his commandments. Exodus 20, 5 and 6. Why does he do it? He does it for his glory. Kings and nobles count it honored to have many born in their house as subjects, not merely made so. So God, for his own glory, takes Abraham's seed into covenant. And in that way, all born of Abraham's line and Isaac are visibly his covenant people, bearing his mark and not left to Satan to claim for himself. Are we talking about the Old Testament? Because many covenant blessings were not to be fulfilled in Abraham personally, but in his seed. Can you think of one? Promises made to Abraham that he did not see.
Egypt,
right? Deliverance from. How about something else? Anything else? What did he say to him about his seed? What will they be like?
Sand,
dust, stars. Did he see that?
No.
Mm-mm. And to give them Canaan for an inheritance, he didn't see that either. These were for generations to come, so God covenanted with Abraham's seed as well as Abraham himself. Chiefly because Christ, in whom all the promises are founded, was to descend from Abraham according to the flesh, being the eminent seed and covenant center, the pillar of all the promises. Abraham's seed were joint heirs in that particular way. So, we find that God was the promiser and Abraham and his seed were the receivers and even as we would call them, the restipulators, right? We talked a little bit about that. God covenanted with Abraham as the Almighty. Does anybody know what Almighty means? El Shaddai, the Almighty One, all-sufficient fountain of blessing, protection, and reward. I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. He told that to Moses. Well, through Moses. Exodus 6:3. Abraham received this covenant as a type of Christ, the true father of the faithful. We're going to press it. Christians are to follow who, as Paul says in Romans 4 and 5?
Him as he follows Christ.
Yes, but who's the father of their faith? Who are they supposed to be like?
Abraham.
Yes. It's an interesting thing. You know, he does talk about various things in Romans. He hits some of the different Old Testament figures and such, but everything revolves around the covenant that God made with Abraham, including and when he gets to Romans 9, Romans 10, Romans 11, and talking about the stump. It's the Abrahamic covenant in which the Gentiles are grafted into.
He's the template.
Yes, he is the template. The just shall live by faith, right? Who said that?
Paul.
Yes, but Paul was being a parrot.
Yes.
He was quoting who? Habakkuk, Old Testament prophet. Abraham received the covenant as a type. Thus, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations, Genesis 17:4. So Paul called him the father of all them that believe, Romans 4:11. The seed of Abraham was taken into a covenant and comprehended in Christ. To Abraham and his seed were the promises made, and to thy seed, which is Christ, Galatians 3:16. Mystically considered. When bad ideas about covenant come in, what happens is all of the seed from Abraham to Jesus gets tossed in the garbage. And people just go to Jesus as the seed. And that's the only place they go. They throw everything else out. Christ collectively, head and body, mediator and members, the covenant is made with Christ the mediator, root and treasurer of all the promises. And he's done this with Abraham's invisible spiritual seed, which are all true believers, Jews or Gentiles, who are heirs with Christ, and with all Abraham's visible seed, Jews by birth, circumcised in the flesh, proselytes professing faith, and visible Christians outwardly joining to the covenant, though without true heart faith. They only share in things outwardly. Do they share in benefits? They do. But keep in mind that's twofold. In thinking about it, it's a twofold thing. We just always use, I always use the same example of the apple. Are apples bad? No, in and of themselves, they're just apples, right? Is popcorn bad?
Depends on the corn.
So you have this popcorn, and it's fabulous in and of itself. It's not good or evil, but it depends on what you do with that popcorn, right? God's covenant is the inheritance that Abraham and his seed receives through Jesus. So when we think about people in the covenant who are partakers of the outward part of it, they get popcorn just like everybody else does. They get apples just like everybody else does. The rain falls on the just and the unjust, right? In considering that, there are two sides to the idea of how God deals with people, in that there are all kinds of privileges in the covenant. If there is any place for anybody to be saved, it's under the preaching of the word amongst the people of the church.
And they'll have a happy life.
They can have a happy life to a certain extent.
Sure.
The other side of that is that even though God gives them these apples or popcorn or whatever it happens to be, he's preparing them for something. And depending upon what he's going to do with them, those things are going to be further good or ill. Right? Which is why James, when you look at James, he talks about everything is just kind of poured out in front of all those people that are in hell. And all these things become a witness against them. Is gold evil? Is money evil?
No.
Money is the root of all evil. Is that true?
Love.
The love of money is the root of all evil. The money's not evil.
Sin is not in things and grace is not in things.
That is correct. Both of those things are important. So understanding how they're used, and in that particular way, it's important to understand how they're used or how they're not used. If they're used in a bad way, they tend towards ill for that person. If they're used in a God-glorifying way, they're used in a good way towards that person. And that's going to depend on what? That guy right there. That's what it's going to depend on. Whether they have a bad heart or a good heart. Right? At 1 year old, you can see the fall in children. Isaac. Who else? Ishmael. What do you see? Right? How do you know which kind they have? Right? It's later. You're not going to know that. God's covenant is the inheritance of Abraham and his seed. It's not entailed as a lease or copyhold, but as a free holding inheritance to them and their generations with faith and obedience as that which is the chief rent to the great Lord. So all the temporal things, all the spiritual things, all the eternal blessings are theirs by covenant title. So believing Gentiles, also being Christ, are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So they are too, even though they're not Jews. But they are the Jews. What's a real Jew? What's not a real Jew? Remember, we're dealing with two different things. There's the physical seed, the spiritual seed. Both are important. We don't toss them out. But the Lord's very liberal. He provides not only for Abraham, but for his seed through all generations, he says. And Abraham should believe him. He doesn't have like the, some kind of meter. And when it gets to the person who's not going to be saved, it suddenly goes off with a different sound. He doesn't have that. The baby gets born and he walks up with the meter and wants to know what it is. He doesn't know that. So what does he do?
He raises
them up as God's children. Why does he do that?
Because that's how God wants him to think about them.
Correct. Blessed is that people whose God is the Lord, Psalm 144:15. Therefore, believers must look into the covenant, admire it, and apply it as their own, because it's their covenant, their privileges, their inheritance as Abraham's seed in Christ. When did Korah have an issue with salvation and covenant? Remember Korah? Ground swallowed him up. When was the issue? When he was 20? No. 30? 40? 50? He was in the church for a long time. Came out of Egypt. Right? So, long time. Had outward privileges.
Saw it all.
Went through the Red Sea. So, the covenant inheritance settled upon Abraham and his seed and preventing doubts in the heart of Abraham's Christian seed. We're going to cover, not today, but the next time, we're going to cover three particular ideas. What are the hereditary benefits and privileges? Second, whether Abraham and all his seed, Jews and Gentiles, had and have equal share. And third, to how many generations these extend. But we're going to stop there for now. But consider those.